So we can start in 5 minutes. 5 minute warning.
Sorry, Paul, were you talking?
So can we please take our seats? Can you please display? Okay, so the main item for the agenda this afternoon is to go through the speaking points that I wrote, that Alyssa and myself worked on yesterday, mostly myself. So.
Yeah, I didn't do anything.
Okay, I wrote them.
I may not have read that before.
Yeah. Skimmed. Oh boy, we are tired, all of us. Okay, I hope all of you can read, or you have the information. You have it in the email yourself. So, what I tried to do was to write up speaking points, and the way I personally try to do it, the way we do it in ASAC, is that we try to come up with questions that we envision, and then we try to write answers. I don't really know whether all of you have had time to read these, but we can. Why not go through one at a time, or we all read one at a time and see whether you have any suggestions on changes. What I did was to try to go through the decision points and agreements yesterday and try to come up with a question that led to basically the text that I've written is based on the agreements yesterday. There. So to start with the first one, have you identified any issues with the CWG names proposal? And what I try to point out is that we actually have been discussing the trademark issues, and indeed we just did send what we agreed to this morning. So maybe this is something that we should adjust the text accordingly. So regarding the first A, Alyssa is going to write a different text. And we can come back to that.
Yeah, I'll do the editing offline.
Yeah, we do the editing offline and then we come back with the text. B, do you have all the data you need to respond to the letter from NTIA? And no, of course, we're still gathering data. We, like we said this morning, we will probably wait for more discussions. We'll see at the end of the week what it actually looks like. And when we collect the data during this coming week, we are bringing that information back to the ICG, and then we'll see what we are going to respond. Any comments on that? Paul?
Hi, Patrick. Paul Wilson here. I was wondering about question A. It seems a very short answer, and I'm not sure of everything that was discussed yesterday, of course, but I'm surprised if there are no issues regarding PTI or the customer committee or anything. Maybe that's the sort of issues that Alyssa will add. But if indeed the only issues that we're dealing with the CLG proposal are the IANA trademark issues, then that sounds very good to me. I'm just a bit surprised it's such a short answer. On B, I assume that that's the letter about implementation, but that's not at all clear from the question or from the answer given. So if this is going to be a written sort of FAQ, then I just suggest to clarify which letter we're talking about and perhaps what is the type of data that's still being gathered. For instance, it is data pertaining to the implementation impacts and issues, I suppose. Thanks, that's all.
Thank you very much, Paul. Now when you pointed out, I agree that should point out both that we have found the issue regarding the trademark, but also that we are working on the pre-assessment, which means that we sort of reserve ourselves from making a final judgment on the proposal. Did I understand you correct?
Yeah, right. That makes perfect sense. There's plenty more to be looked at with the CWG. In other words, this is not an exhaustive answer. Thanks.
And regarding B, let me say that just because when I wrote this down, I didn't envision this be something in FAQ that we are going to sort of publish in writing. Of course, everything we do is available, including drafts, which means that everything can see what we have typed anyways. But this is the idea with this was to be sort of a starting point of text that we can use when we are talking to people and answering questions. Of course, we all remember when we wrote the FAQ, and I'm looking at Manal now, how much time we ICG members like to spend on wordsmithing FAQs and answers. And let me just encourage people that this is just examples of question and answers that we can base our sort of responses to. The intention was not to try to find something that is absolutely correct. Of course, there should not be anything wrong either. So regarding the letter from NTA, yes, that could be clarified that we are talking about the letter from Secretary Strickling to the ICG chairs. That's what we are talking about. So yes, that could be spelled out better. Lynn?
Thank you, Patrick. I'm wondering if it makes... First of all, I think this is great, and it's a huge, huge start. I'm wondering if it makes sense to group them by category. So, for instance, to say in the CWG space, this is a series of comments or questions, and so that if people are in that community or that meeting, they have everything there, which is sort of a set of scripted talking points. Not that I'd expect anybody to read them here, but this would also be the place where you could put in what the two stated positions are at the moment about the PTI. That's bound to be a really obvious question from the group here. So to the extent you could say, you know, the IETF at this point intends to continue the contract with ICANN as they await further details on the PTI, we don't see any implications to the IETF proposal at the moment. I mean, that's a really high-level summary, but those are the questions I think this community is going to have, and maybe that's a different way to articulate all the points in a way that really helps move it forward.
I think, go through them.
So I think that's a good idea, but should we then, let me then suggest that we start by going through these questions, and then we can take on a task to sort of reorder them, whatever. They are written in the order which they happen to be in the notes from yesterday. That's basically where why they are in the order they are. So, but let's take that into account that we are grouping them. Then question C, when will you have sent the response to NTIA? And this is also related to the question on the timeline from Secretary Strickling. Here we point out that we are drafting and discussing the letter at the sessions that ICG do have at the meeting here in Buenos Aires. Manal?
I recognize it's not a written communication, but isn't it worth noting that the target date is end of June?
Yes, that's a good addition, yeah. So, yes, because this example question actually asks about specific timeline, and yes, we are aware of course, that the target date is end of June, so that's something we can say as well. Then question D, it goes back to the CW names proposal. Just like you point out, Lynn, it jumps back and forth here, so that is something that should be moved to the other questions, where there is more specific question if we have started to evaluate the CW names proposal. So I suggest that we're pointing out that, first of all, we don't have the final proposal. But even though we don't have the final proposal, we have a volunteer group that is working on individual assessments, or it maybe should even be pre-assessment of the names proposal as it is passed to the operation communities. And Alyssa is taking notes, so. Have you started to evaluate the three proposals, and the intention here was to, and that should also be clarified in the question, if we have started to evaluate the three proposals together, whether there are overlaps or and all the other requirements that we are talking about. And what I heard yesterday is that no, we will not start doing that before we have all three proposals. And which means that we, as we said in the previous question, we don't have the final CWG names proposal yet. But I think we could point out that we do have a volunteer group that will start to do the individual assessment as soon as the combined proposal is available. Paul?
Look, I just wanted to echo Manal on both on D and probably E and the rest of the responses as well, that wherever we can give target dates or expected dates for any of these processes, it would be useful to do that, because I think that's an obvious sort of secondary question to many of the answers, you know, not just what are you doing, but when. So as much as possible, I think indicative or committed dates would be useful. Thanks.
Thank you very much. And yes, I agree that that is something we can do for the dates that we also agreed to yesterday, actually, that we said that the individual assessment was, I think, July 7 for the pre-assessment of the names WGG and the names CWG. Yeah. And for the combined assessment 1 week later, which then ends up being July 14 or 15, right? Provided that we do get the final version of CWG Name's proposal, as we hope. Thank you, Paul. Can we scroll down, please? Thank you. Oh, sorry, Milton, I didn't see that. Milton.
So when you say, have you started to evaluate the three proposals? My impression is that we did evaluate two of them. And what you're talking about is the three together, right? You might want to clarify that. And actually, it might be helpful in your answer to say that we actually have evaluated the proposals that we have.
That's a good point, yes. What I was thinking of, what my intention yesterday with the question was, have you, just like you say, have you started to look at overlap or gaps between the three proposals? And so that's really what we are after. But you're absolutely right. Two of them we have evaluated, yes. And Paul, is that an old hand or do you have a comment?
That's an old hand.
Thank you. F, the question is, what will the public comment process look like? I envision that we will get that during this week. People want to know when they can give comments and how. I propose that we are just saying that we are still discussing the details. We do have a volunteer group that look at formulating public comment questions. And I see Lynn suggests that we should just stop there.
I think, yes. I mean, I think to help steer responses in a common direction is not what you meant. It's misleading. I would just stop it after the public comment.
Maybe it was my intention. No, I think you're right. And regarding the public comment period, the question is how much we should talk about when, just like Paul asked about the time, the follow-up question, of course, is when will this be sort of public comment? And if I remember when we were discussing the timeline yesterday, in our timeline, we thought, if I remember correctly what we talked about yesterday, we were thinking about discussing the public comment in detail on the third telephone conference call in July. The first one was for the name CWG proposal. The second one was for the combined assessment, and the third one is in the public comment period. Manal.
First, I support, of course, Lynn's suggestion, but was also going to ask whether we should add a question regarding whether the ICG plan to have only one public comment period. And I think we have an answer to this, that we do not intend to repeat the public comment on the individual proposals, and we expect that people will be commenting on the overall, and we expect that it would not take more than one public comment period, but the option is not excluded, I mean, if need arise.
Yes, thank you. Alyssa?
Just in response to the last thing that you said, Patrick, I don't think we have fully decided when we will discuss the questions for public comment, and just knowing that we have limited time on the calls in July, first of all, we definitely will have to get some of this done on the mailing list. And second of all, I don't think we really need to commit too far on that one, because it just needs to be done before we do the public comment period, before the public comment period opens. So it might be the case that we do it earlier in July or not, but I'd rather us not commit. The thing that we've committed to is doing the public comment period in August, so we know it'll be done by then somehow, whether that be by mailing list or phone call.
So did you just propose that we should say something about August timeframe, that the public comment, according to our timeline, we envision it to be somewhere around August?
That's fine. Yeah.
G, have you started to write the common proposal yet? And the answer there is a no, but I'm trying to find some kind of, I try to find some kind of wording that we are preparing on be able to do that. We do have the group, the drafting team for a combined proposal, preface, introduction, executive summary. Maybe that is something that we don't have to say, but as it is something we decide and we have the drafting team, why not mention it? Manal?
Should we also note that the three individual proposals would be attached as received by the operational communities?
Personally, I don't see any problem with saying that as part of the part of the response, because that is something we agreed to that the we should pass on the three proposals as they are in one way or another. We as it is now, if I understand what the consensus of ICG is correct, we talked about having it as attachment or appendices, and then we sort of add a cover letter which includes the executive summary that we have started to plan, and then a few more things that answers that sort of is our production. Alyssa?
Maybe we can just phrase the question as, have you started to write the ICG's components of the common proposal? Right, because that's, we're not really writing the proposal. It's already written.
Yes, that's a good idea. Manal? Oh, Lynn, sorry. Lynn.
I am always happy to follow Manal. I wonder if maybe even be more direct that this is an assembled proposal or something which talks to the fact that we're actually assembling pieces and we will address some of the ICG specific.
Maybe it is the case that we should come up with the wording that we should use sort of repeatedly. So maybe combined proposal or yeah. Manal?
I was just going to ask whether we're trying to come up with answers to questions that might arise, or are these key messages or things that we are going to, because, I mean, if we're rephrasing questions, then what if this specific question was raised, I mean.
In this case, the text you see on the screen, I started with the text and then I wrote the question, okay? But in reality, when doing these kind of things, of course, we should write down the questions we think we really will get, and those should be the tough questions. We should not list the easy questions that we already know the answer about. But maybe it is the case that we should just go through these and then we can see, do we around this table have other difficult questions that we think we will be asked, and then we try to come up with answers to those. H, how are you coordinating with the CCWG accountability? And I point out that we have a volunteer group, including liaisons or contact persons, to continue to flag issues in the CCWD accountability, like we decided yesterday. Can you scroll down? And I try to come up with other kind of sort of questions that people probably will ask us. And here's where the text is just completely invented by me, and it might be the case that we should have completely different answers. The first one, of course, will you be done by September 30, 2015? And I think our current estimate say that more time is needed than between now and September 30. Yeah. Paul?
Thanks, Patrick. Paul here. I think the follow-on question for that is what happens, if we can say anything at all, with the renewal of the IANA contract. There will be questions about whether it's going to be renewed for 2 years, and if so, can it be? Will it then be cancelled early, as in, say, on September 30th, or will it be renewed for shorter periods, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, I hope that those, if we don't have answers to those questions anyway, they become clearer in the coming week. So I'm just pointing out, I think they're fairly obvious follow-up questions. Thanks.
Lisa?
I think if we got one of those questions, we could redirect to Larry Strickling, who's here, and I believe has his answer, since it's not really up to us.
I think the other part of that question and answer is that we have got the question from Strickling regarding the timeline, and we already have answers to those questions that we're working on a response to the letter from Strickling regarding potential extension. But then, of course, as Alyssa says, I agree with you, Alyssa, that whether there'll be the contract will be extended or whatever is a question to NTIA. The next thing that the question that I sort of come up with is, if people do not like the proposals, can they object during the ICG public comment period? And what I was thinking of here is trying to find one of many potential questions where the default answer from ICG would be that what we have been talking about repeatedly, that we have a specific charter to look at overlap and gaps and conflicts between the various proposals, and if people had issues with the proposals in that case, they should have participated in their respective communities. Whether there could probably be like 500 different kind of questions that should lead to the right or to the same answer. I don't know whether this is the correct answer. I don't know whether this is an example question. But that was my intention. We need to have something there. And I think it's important that we have one answer that we agree on, where we try to explain our mandate. And I don't really know what the correct text should be. I'm a little bit uncomfortable with this text because it might not explain well enough to the people what I'm after. I say Milton, Muhammad, and Manal. Milton.
Yeah, I think we just have to accept as a matter of reality that people who don't like the proposals are going to tell us so during the public comment period, and they have every right to do that the final result is supposed to have broad public support, and if they didn't get what they wanted out of the operational community process, then they can say, we don't like this. We don't like the whole thing because of that, or maybe they don't like other things too, but I don't think we can limit them to saying, we don't like what you, I see, we don't like the way you stitch the proposals together. That's kind of a little too technical and I don't think it meets the NTIA's mandate. Essentially, this is the final test. Maybe there's a critical mass of people who were isolated in any given operational community process, but then when they gather together looking at the whole proposal, they'll be a significant force. Of course, I don't want that to happen, but it's just the way it is. It's the way things are going to happen. People are going to take this as the final stamp of approval or the final stamp of opposition for the thing as a whole, and we just better be prepared for that.
Yeah, I agree with you, Milton. What I feel that we might have to explain, but maybe we don't have to, is the difference between us. Of course, people can respond whatever they want to us, as you say, and they will. Okay. So my question to you is, do we have the need to explain to people that, A, we cannot modify the proposals, but we will use their input as an indicator on whether we believe, which we should judge, whether the process within each one of the operation communities was sound or not.
In responding, is anybody else in the queue? Wolf is in the queue.
So let's take the others in the queue. Mohammed, Manal, and Wolf Ulrich. Mohammed.
I think we need to really draw this thing, the difference between the objection of the submitted proposals, which it went through an extensive consultation process, and comments and maybe objections on our assembled, or at least on the final proposal. I think the language needs to be really refined. Either we break, maybe we have two questions. One could ask, if you're not happy with one of the submitted proposals, are you able to object it in our comment period? And then we need to explain why we're not accepting this, because basically there is a process through the community that has been done, and we cannot change that, those proposals. And another question which is clearly asks about the comments period. I mean, are you able, are they able to object in our comment period for the assembled proposal? But the question needs really to be maybe rephrased or broken down.
Manal?
Thank you, Patrick. And I was just going to suggest that the question reads: if people do not like the if people do not like individual proposals, because I think this is where the no comes from. If they want to object to individual proposals, and maybe in the answer we can also highlight that the comments should focus on the overall proposal in terms of workability, accountability, and the categories we have in our questions.
Thank you, Wolf Ulrich.
Thanks, Patrick. Well, this is a very specific question, just related to the question, do you like it or not? And, well, as Milton said, you know, you can answer whatever you like. And I think we should just communicate that we will come up with a specific set of guidance, or so guiding questions throughout the public comment period, as the other communities did through their comment period, and we are going to focus on these questions. The question behind of this question is not, can you object? The question is, what does the ICG will do with your objection? And then we can focus on that. So we rely on the questions. We are sitting here, and whatever you have on additional comment, you are free to do so. Thanks.
Thank you. And then Paul?
I'm just agreeing with Milton that people really have to be able to have the chance to put objections on record, even if the ICG can't actually deal with them or respond to them. And if not, then we should explain why in terms of where we are in the process. But I think the other thing is to make it clear that other issues pertaining to individual proposals need to go back to the communities and find some solution or expression there. I'm not sure whether we can say that the community processes are ongoing, but there is at least a sort of an implementation and there's a community that exists that into which those issues would need to be taken. Thanks.
Thank you, Paul. Let me also add to the minutes that when you specifically talked about your first statement here, the need for or the ability for people to put their objections on the record, there were a lot of noddings in the room, and I would like that to be in the minutes. Milton?
So I just have some proposed language. So the question being, you know, what if I don't like the final proposal? Answer: you can express support or opposition for the proposal as a whole or for any part of it, but if some part of the proposal does not obtain the needed public support to go forward, the ICG cannot modify it. It can only send it back to one of the operational communities for modification. Thus, critics must be mindful of the amount of support their proposed modification would get from the affected operational community. Is that too complicated?
Can you paste it in the chat or something?
Zhao Dong?
Regarding this question, I'm curious if people, what is the people Demi is an Aiken community member, so all the stakeholders. So I think, firstly, if there's some kind of newcomer, they're missing the public comment for the different community before they submit the proposal to ICG. I think they have a chance to review the proposals and give their opinion. The second, for the public comment, I think anybody can give any kind of comment, including the objection or not. So we cannot stop that. It's their right to give the comment. Yeah, it's my opinion.
Thank you. And I think I do see a consensus that we cannot say anything in the form of trying to tell people that they cannot give negative comments. Of course they can. The question is...
Yes, Patrick. We cannot give a very, very strong message but on behalf of ICG on this issue.
Yes, yes. Thank you. Michael?
Yes, I concur that everybody can make comments, of course, but I would like to reiterate what Wolf always said. We should not create or have the expectations that there is a revision of the processes that have taken place. So they shouldn't have the expectations that the issues that have been dealt with in the communities as such will then, just at the same time in a photographic manner, revisit it. It's only the new stuff, and I think that has to be made very clear at the outset when we invite for the public consultation what the expectations for the treatment by the ICG are.
Martin? Yes, Martin, yes.
Thanks, Patrick. Martin Boyle. Yeah, I agree with what others have said about the fact that we can't tell people what or what they can't put in. But I would certainly pick up on Michael's point that we ought to at least encourage them in the right direction. In other words, putting it a little bit more positively, this consultation is about... the other thing is that part of that explanation is that the proposals, the individual elements, have already gone through a consensus-building process. So they are already the subject of extensive consultation and extensive attempts to try and find a middle way between different people's points of view. If people have that understanding, then it becomes easier to turn around and say, well, yes, but you have put this in before, there has been a response to it, we don't see why we should be putting any further work into that. So it really is a matter of setting the scene, but trying to phrase it in a little bit more of a positive frame of mind. Thanks.
And then we have the addition that Paul made, that for each one of the operational communities, their environment, of course, is evolving all the time, which means that if it is the case that what is proposed here is not really what people envision or would like, there's a change process that people can use for further evolution of each one of the of whatever. Wolf Ulrich, please.
Thank you. I think Milton brought it up just right now, a point that the ICG may send back the proposal under certain conditions, and the condition is question mark for me. So I wonder whether we shouldn't be prepared to such a question, which is in this direction, under which conditions the ICG may send back the proposal. And this is not just the question of if somebody comes and says, this proposal, I don't like it, and that's my answer. That is not a condition why we are going to send it back, but there must be, should be, some others which I've generated from our charter under which we are going to send it back. I wonder whether this question should also be raised here or covered, at least. Thanks.
Well, at least we need to answer if we are asked that question. Let's see, Joe.
Yes, thank you. I think I look at our charter, and I completely agree with everybody in terms of our charter related to creating the proposal. But our charter also goes to making sure that the proposal as a whole meets the IANA conditions. And part of those conditions are support across stakeholder communities. And while I agree that a comment from a disgruntled person who doesn't like a part of a proposal or a proposal as a whole is in no means a showstopper, and, you know, we may just be able to refer that back to the community or decide it's already been dealt with. But this is also the opportunity for people who haven't been part of the process to provide opinion. And if it seems like there is a substantial group that all of a sudden seems to have a problem, that's something we need to think about and deal with. And I think that is in our charter. Now, the way we deal with it might be to forward that concern to the community that drafted the proposal. But I'm very uncomfortable by the way we phrased and answered this question. I think the positive phrasing would help this somewhat, but I also think we need to consider our charter. Yes, in the creation, we have a very limited role, but in looking at the conditions, part of that role is understanding the stakeholder community support for it. And I agree that the consultation processes should have taken care of that, but we do have to have the caveat that if new people have entered the process and it seems like there is either a significant misunderstanding or a significant reservation, that's something we're going to have to deal with.
Thank you. Alyssa?
I was going to try to show the summary of this.
Okay.
One.
Manau?
Yes. Make me a presenter.
Manau?
Just very quickly to support what Michael and Martin said, and also I would refrain from starting with a no. So, I mean, we can try to explain the whole thing factually without... thank you.
Thank you. Milton, I think that's an old flag, right? Yeah, thank you. So let's now, Alyssa... we are trying to display where we are.
So this is my attempt to incorporate what Milton said and the rest of the discussion. So it's the question now reads, how will the ICG respond if commenters object to the proposal? And then you can read the answer. And I will say it does not speak to the question raised by Wolf Ulrich, I think mostly because we don't really have an objective standard for how we're going to decide when something gets sent back. And I'm not sure that we can actually define one in advance.
This is Patrick. Is that something we should be prepared on being asked? And we still need to know what to answer if we get asked a question, for example, a question like, under what circumstances are you going to reject the proposals? And the answer is as simple as if they don't fulfill the requirements listed in our charter, and not because we don't know anything more than that. Russ, and then Elise.
Thank you, Patrick. Westermende here. I like the wording that Elise put together on this. The second sentence, though, that starts, but if some part of the proposal, I think, a little bit confusing as it currently sits, because when I first read it, I thought it was addressing just the operational community, one of the operational community parts of the proposal, or if it was the whole proposal. Obviously, the ICG can modify the ICG's part of the proposal, but I think the wording just needs a little bit of clarification there. That would make it clear that if it's an operational community part of the proposal, we can't modify it.
Elise?
Hi, Elise here. So I didn't take part in the conversation, as I shouldn't, but as just reading it, not having taken part in the conversation, it seems to me it would be a more positive statement if you started with the second paragraph and then followed it with the first paragraph. If I were an outsider reading it, it seems to me that it would be better to start with the second paragraph and then have the negative bit at the end instead of at the beginning. But that's a comment.
Yeah, it's not a written document, but yes, it's a lot of people are nodding. Wolf Ulrich?
Yes, I'm nodding too. And in addition, well, this one sentence that the... Oh, it's now in the second paragraph, yes. The very last sentence, the ICG can only send it back to one of the operational communities. I would suggest at the time being to leave it out, because to my understanding, it would just open and misunderstandings. So under which condition? Because these are not clear. And indirectly, I think an answer is given now in the first paragraph by saying issues that have been thoroughly discussed and rejected are not going to be reopened, but others, it means others will be opened. So that's my understanding, and that's enough. Thank you.
Martin?
Thanks, Patrick. Martin Boyle here. I think I've got 2 points, one on each paragraph. Taking the paragraph that is now paragraph one, issues that have been thoroughly discussed and rejected within the individual community process will not be reopened. I think that could usefully be presented in quite a positive light and say that, you know, issues that have been thoroughly discussed already have contributed to the development of the current consensus proposals or something in that way, because essentially what we're saying is, well, we're not going to reopen them. I think we should be saying why we're not reopening them, because, you know, here it was the consensus that came out of a long process, rather than just sort of turning around and saying that we're not going to accept them. We say that what we are accepting is the consensus document. The second paragraph, sentences that start with "but," I'm always getting told off for using them. What we're saying is, if some aspect of the proposal does not obtain the needed public support to go forward, I've got no idea how we gauge that. But we're saying that. I think here we would be saying that if there were a large or a significant number of comments opposing, then we would need to go back, rather than something that is fairly vague about a needed public support to go forward. that well, what is the needed public support for going forward? I think to some extent what we ought to be doing is encouraging people, though, in that process to say they like it. It's always very, very easy when you're doing a consultation, particularly for a Brit, to concentrate on the bits you don't like and forget to say the things that you do like, which means that all you need is a few people to start saying, actually, I don't like that bit, and you've got people who are opposed, but you haven't got people who are in favour. So again, I think that phraseology could just be put into a slightly more positive way, in such a way that we don't put ourselves in a position of trying to judge the unjudgeable. Thank you.
Alyssa, Zhao Dong, and then Joe. Alyssa.
I think the notion of gating when we send something back on the number of comments received, from my perspective, is a little bit troubling, because we may have one commenter who sees something in there that everyone else in the world missed, and we all go, aha, we need to send this back to someone to fix this, right? We forgot .int or whatever. So I think what we're wrestling with here is just that we have a lot of discretion that we've allowed ourselves up to this point. And so the condition really is, if the ICG receives comments that they think require further consultation with the communities, we send them back. We don't modify it ourselves. And that's the condition, right? We decided this was necessary.
Martin?
Martin Boyle, I'm sorry to jump back into the queue here. What Alyssa says, I think, is right, but it's not what is actually said here in the text. So if we can pick up that as being, if people identify serious issues with the proposals, then this is what we do, rather than this particular approach in the text as it now stands, and then I would be happy. Thank you.
Zhao Dong?
I want to second the comment from Martin. I think so if the community have a lot of objection about the proposals, we need to return back to the community to discuss again. Actually, maybe it's impossible, because there's a lot of discussion in the past years. But as a response from the SED, we didn't indicate that. It's certainly speaking.
Joe?
Thank you. I think we've introduced a little bit of schizophrenia into the two paragraphs, because in the first paragraph, we're essentially closing the door on reopening any of the topics that were discussed, which deal with the elements of the proposals. And then in the last one, we talk about if they don't gain whatever we consider the public support level and however we measure it, then we send it back. If the first one makes sense, then the second one can only apply to our elements of the proposal. If the second one makes sense, then we can't have formally closed the door on all the elements of the proposal. So we have to adjust the language to have consistency, because right now it doesn't work within itself.
Thank you. JJ?
Thank you, Patrick. This is Jean-Jacques. I'd like to support what Alyssa pointed out a moment ago. My comment is about the second paragraph here. At this stage, I don't have any concrete proposal to make as regards the wording, but I would like to point something out, which also follows on Martin's remarks and Elisa's remarks. I think that Martin first said, depending on the number of people who support or do not support a proposal, and Elisa pointed out quite rightly that would open the door to another type of difficulty, which is, how do you judge a threshold and the relevance of the objections. So instead of that, could we introduce the notion that we have to measure against measurable things? We didn't establish the criteria ourselves. They were imposed by the authority, which is the NTIA. So it is against the standards or the criteria proposed by the NTIA that there would be standing or not on the part of commenters to challenge or not challenge what we have assembled. I think that is the only criterion which can stand the test of relevance.
Alyssa?
I put myself in the queue to respond to Joe. I think Joe, the two paragraphs are not inconsistent because it's possible that we receive a comment about an issue that was not thoroughly discussed and rejected within one of the community processes, but is very specific to one of the proposal components. So it doesn't meet the bar in the first paragraph, nor is it only about the whole proposal. So that's what the text in the first paragraph was meant to get at. I've tried a reformulation in the second paragraph, which is different from what Jean-Jacques just suggested, but at least there's words there now.
Thank you. Lynn?
So I like the formulation that's showing in the chat room at the moment, but I might suggest that the last word should be review. We're not necessarily insisting that they need to modify it. They just need to take the comments into question and review.
Thank you. And then I think it was the last question that I posted. Can transition happen for one of the OS operation communities and not the others? And what I try to do is to refer back to NTA that stated that they want a complete proposal before they evaluate the situation, but point out that things can happen, many things actually must happen before the transition. For this one, I don't really know what was the correct words, but we will be asked the question. Mano?
I'm not sure either what was the correct words, but I was just wondering whether we have agreed that... let me read it. NTIA has stated they want a complete proposal before they evaluate the situation. That said, comma, once the final proposal is submitted and evaluated, comma, nothing... I mean, can we introduce this? Does this reflect our agreement yesterday, or am I misinterpreting our conclusion?
I think that is correct. Alyssa?
I think there are implementation steps that can take place even before the proposal has been submitted to NTIA, like the RIR consultation on the SLA and so forth. So those things are already happening now. Maybe people don't like they're called implementation steps, but that to me that's what they are.
Okay, what I think we have an issue with here is in that case the word implementation. What do we mean by that? Because there are, of course, certain things that must be implemented or done or changed. Otherwise, the NTIA will not do the transition, which means terminate the contract. So by definition, some things need to be implemented before the transition is implemented. So maybe that is where we have the terminology issue, and to some degree that was some of the confusion that we had yesterday.
I mean, before the submission or before the transition is implemented?
Well, as Alyssa said, certain things can be implemented. Certain things can, let me try to not use the word implemented. Certain things can happen and is happening already now before even all the proposals are evaluated. Jean-Jacques.
Thank you, Patrick. Early on, I had immediately indicated the danger of the word implementation in the administrator of NTIA's letter to us. Here, I would suggest that we keep the word implementation strictly for the stage at which the U.S. government, having approved the transition plan, is then implementing it. Every other step, we should find other words for that. For instance, we can use adaptation or adapting or things like that, but keep the word implementation really for the last step, which is a political decision. Thank you.
And Joe, you took down your hand?
No, I lost my connection to the web, so my hand is still up.
Okay, so please speak up.
Thanks. I think the concern Jean-Jacques highlights is a good concern, but I think the solution may be one that's a little more harsh than needed. I think we can talk about, because for instance, doing research on the SLA is different than executing an SLA in place. The implementation step is the execution of a new SLA, but doing the work they're doing now is preparatory steps towards implementation. So perhaps we can characterize things in that fashion.
I'm looking around the room to see what people's reaction is. Some nodding, some people need coffee. Russ?
Russ Mundy. Yeah, coffee does sound good. I think, as was mentioned a little earlier, the term implementation is a difficult term in this case because many different activities have different understandings of what implementation means. Somebody such as myself with an engineering software background, implementation is when you write software. And someone with a more political or contractual background, implementation is when you sign or end a contract. Two extremely, different kinds of things, and I'm sure there are a lot of other variants. I think Jean-Jacques' suggestion that we be very, very careful how we use the word is a good one. I'm not certain how we should restrict that, though, especially since one of our current documents that we're trying to respond to points to implementation, and I think many of us even have a different understanding of what that means there. So in terms of our questions here, perhaps for what we publish, we do need to just avoid using that term implementation since it's just too vague.
I agree with you if it is the case that we agree that we should stop use it in the answer. On the other hand, we will be asked questions where the word implementation most certainly is in use. So what I think we have a consensus about here is that, yes, there is confusion of the word implementation. So whenever we are responding to questions, we should try to not use that term and instead talk about what we really mean when we are answering. Narelle
Clark for the record. Are we talking about migration to a new regimen of operation, something like that? And that there are steps involved in this migration that may take place in parallel?
Elise?
Elise here. I guess you're looking at me. So there are some steps that will make changes in organizational structure as well as in operational activities, as well as the need for instrumentation and development in order to deliver on some of the expectations. And those are not just from one community. I know that most communities think it's just the other community, but there are some steps that will have to be taken and implementation, and it's a very small staff that's being asked to do all of them. And I think just like all of us have to prioritize our work projects when we have work projects, when we get the full set of recommendations and requirements that have been adopted, it'll be an easier task to then scope those things and say how they can be interwoven or how they can be developed in parallel or how they'll have to be sequential. But right now, I think a lot of it's speculation. But from what I look at the workload for my team, it will be fairly significant for some of the things we're being asked to do.
Anal?
So just trying to make sure I'm on the same page with everyone else. So my understanding now is that there are some preparatory steps or actions that may take place prior to submission as preparatory steps or actions, and then implementation of the submitted and approved proposal, which again may take place sequential or parallel regarding the implementation steps. Does this,
Lisa, and then Joseph,
make
and
sense?
Lisa, and then Joe and Paul.
Yes, I agree with that. I think just to illustrate by example, we have information back from multiple communities that says the incorporation of the PTI might take 3 to 4 months. So just forgetting when that happens, clearly it doesn't happen like all at one time. There's lots of things that need to, documents that need to be drafted and legal reviews that need to occur, and all of these things can happen, you know, have to happen over a period of time and not on one day. The contract expires on one day. It's there one day and it's not there the next day. So they have a different nature. Now, whether this preparatory steps toward implementation start now or they start after we submit the proposal to the ICANN board, or they start after NTIA has certified the proposal and approved it, from my perspective, that is up to the individual communities to decide how confident they feel in the proposal, how much they think it's really tied to the NTIA timeline at all, right? Some of them, like the ITF and the RIRs, we have an SLA. We're just going to try to update it in the meantime, right? So I don't think we need one kind of overarching answer to all of this. We just need to understand that there's going to be implementation steps that will take some amount of time and might occur at different phases of this process in relation to the contract expiry, which will happen on a particular date sometime in the future.
Paul?
Yeah, I guess I was really just wanting to empathize with Manal's uncertainty about implementation, because it did occur to me in talking about a stage, certainly about a staged implementation, but it applies even to a sort of all-at-once implementation, but once the ICG was disbanded, then the actual responsibility, the overall responsibility for coordinating or validating, managing or overseeing implementation is not clear. I don't think certainly NTIA doesn't want that responsibility, probably couldn't take it on. I don't know if the single parties, either the communities themselves or ICANN, can take it on. And since we have a single coherent plan, we really, and I'm sorry, this may have been discussed before at some point, but it seems that we need a single coherent implementation approach and implementation oversight
Paul, a lot of people in this room are curious about where you are because it sounds like you're sort of in the middle of a shopping center or something.
I'm in the in a lounge in the San Diego airport, and a bunch of kids just wandered in. So I might need. I will move, so it sounds a bit less chaotic.
Paul, don't be so worried because the at least the transcription do catch everything you're saying. So we can, the combination of listening and reading, we do get everything that you said. So thank you very much.
Okay.
Okay, so let's move to the last two questions. So one of the questions was this one: what about CCWG accountability and their timeline? Is that acceptable for the ICG? My proposed response is that, as everyone else, we are waiting for the conclusion of the CCWG accountability on the feedback that they got during their open consultation. So basically, we are waiting for more input from them. Which means that my suggestion is that we try to not answer any question on regarding, like, taking whether we think they are off track or on track or whatever. Okay, and the last question, is ICG satisfied with the CWG name's proposal? And the response there that I suggest is that we are, that first of all, that we have started pre-assessment. We have not received the final proposal. We do know that the chartering organizations have until June 25 to respond, and we are... And then sort of between, then of course it's part of our charter to evaluate whether the process that have been used by CWG names is fulfilling all the requirements regarding multi-stakeholder, etc. Which means that we are specifically looking at how CWG names is taking care of their the input that they might get. Okay, no, Lynn?
Just think satisfied is an odd word, but I'm probably a little on caffeine at the moment in the question.
Okay, the question, of course, can be however weird. If I was the one that walked into the room, I would ask you probably a question that was even more weird. Okay. I think we should then concentrate on the answer more than the question, but I do understand your issue with the word satisfied. Xiaodong?
I think I like the word satisfied because so many people may ask the members to satisfy the proposals. But the answer, actually we have the interaction with the CWD. So to also, at least I give an email to CWD about the trademark issues. So there's some kind of interaction. We need to tell the community we have interaction and communication with the CWD. We cannot say that simply satisfied or not satisfied. Okay.
So, Xiaodong, did you want something to actually be added to this, or is it okay because the previous question talks about the interaction with the CWG?
This is Adeline speaking. I think the current response about this question is very diplomatic.
And as a follow-up question, do you see that being a positive or negative thing? Okay, Manal?
I was just wondering whether this goes with the question A. Have you identified any issues with the CWG name's proposal? I mean, it's more or less the same question, right? Whether we have issues rather than whether we are satisfied? Sorry.
I let Alyssa merge the two by maybe deleting one of those responses. So those were all the sort of questions that I came up with, so based on the discussion that we had yesterday. Let me ask you, if anyone have any tricky question that you think we will be asked, please, I open up the floor. Alyssa?
So there was one question that Lynn mentioned at the beginning of this discussion, which I've included here. Is the CWG's proposal for the PTI consistent with the other two communities' proposals? I did not write an answer because I know that the other communities provided comment to the CWG and they have their own answers to this question, so I wasn't exactly sure. A good answer to this would have involved going back and looking at exactly what they said and parroting some of that, and I didn't have time to do that. But if you think if you have it in your mind, I'm happy to write it down. So,
Ben?
I mean, I can take a shot at it. I note that Paul also said in the chat room that the RIR position was about the same as well, so maybe he can even give us the RIR or Alan, but since Paul actually said he was on it earlier, and I'm happy to try and do the IAB IETF one.
Joe?
I think we know the answers to the question, but I think we might get some question from people who are confused about the accountability work stream in general and our work. So we may want to just have some text about the clarification between the two.
Narelle? Oh, sorry. Wait a second. Alyssa?
Joe, can you phrase that as a question? What is the actual question you think we would get?
I think the question would be something along the lines of how has the ICG dealt with some of the accountability issues in ICANN or something of that nature, because I think people are seeing the IANA transition and the fact that we have accountability within our communities may confuse some of them with the more general accountability conversation, which is outside of our remit.
Narelle Clark, I thought we were still at the, is the CWG's proposal for the PTI consistent with the other two communities? And I was going to suggest the answer that the operational communities are actively discussing this at this time. We suggest you go there.
Alan?
Hi, Alan Barrett. So Lynn asked for a comment. I think that the CWG proposal is probably workable. We do have some issues to resolve, especially around the IPR. And I think the RIRs will discuss that with the naming community, and I think we can work something out. There's some parts of the proposal that I think could be clearer, where it's not always clear whether some aspect of the proposal is supposed to apply only to the names part of the IANA functions or to all of the IANA functions as a whole. But, you know, also I think that can be worked out. So, you know, that's not exactly an RIR position. That's my personal comment, but thanks.
So we got a reminder from the interpreters that we are not very good at stating our names before we make an intervention, which, of course, I didn't do for this intervention either. My apologies. This is Patrick Feldstrom for the record. Lisa?
Okay. So I've tried to organize the questions by topic as suggested. So we have the CWG names, and then we have accountability. We have a couple related to the NTIA letter, and then we have a lot related to the proposal finalization process. And that's the end. We have two that don't have answers, which are the one just suggested by Joe. Maybe Joe, if you want to write an answer into the chat, that would be excellent. And then the other one about the PTI, maybe let's try to close on this one. I think I actually agree with the sentiment behind Narelle's comment, which is that as the ICG, we haven't really come to a conclusion on this matter, and I'd rather defer to the operational communities. Is that acceptable? Okay, let me try to write that up.
Okay, it seems to be the case that we are almost done with this this portion of the session. We still have some time left before the coffee break, and then we have more time allocated, but we do also know that people are interested in going to other sessions today, so my suggestion would be that we are taking a 10-minute break, and then we summarize the day and end. So we give the secretariat let's say 15 minutes, so let's say at 14:45 we gather again and summarize the day and bring up whatever issues we have forgot to talk about. Thank you.